Good day, Cedar Creekers, and anyone else who has joined in online. Welcome to our very first 10-minute devotional, where I, Justin Wickman, will read a portion of Scripture, make a few observations, and give you a question to ponder over a cup of coffee or even to journal about. Today, our chunk of Scripture is Daniel chapter 1. What I'm hoping to do is go over the first 6 chapters of Daniel and see how it relates to us in modern times and in our current situations. So if you would, open up your Bible with me, either on your phone or in your physical Bible before you, to Daniel chapter 1 and read along with me. Today, I will be reading in the ESV translation. Daniel chapter 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food, or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were in better appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the 1st year of King Cyrus. That was Daniel chapter 1 in the ESV. Now, one of the first things that stands out to me is in the 2nd verse, where it says, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God." Right away in the book of Daniel, we see God's sovereignty, his control over the situation put on display for us. And what I think is easy to find somewhat startling is that God gave his people into the hands of their enemy. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to besiege and take Judah. I think it's hard for us to see difficulties in our lives as something that our God is allowing to happen to us, and that somehow God is working in a situation like that. And difficult things like what we see the people of Judah are experiencing, it's easy for us to be fearful, to be dismayed. It's easy to fall into depression or despair. Perhaps some of the people of Judah became angry with King Jehoiakim's military or political decisions, blaming him for the fall of the kingdom and the occupation by Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. When in reality, we're told here that God gave Judah into the hands of their enemies. What we're going to see as we work through the first six chapters of Daniel is that God's hand is working. Our God is active in all of this. God is using these awful, terrible times to put his might, his power, his glory on display for King Nebuchadnezzar to see, and for all the people of Babylon to see. Now, without getting too much into what we're going to discuss in the future 10-minute devotionals, we see that God uses disruptions, difficulties, and trials in our lives to shape us and the world around us. Today, as I record this, we're experiencing a shelter-in-place order to slow the spread of COVID-19 throughout our state. Our normal, everyday lives have been disrupted. Mine has. I typically spend most Saturday evenings with my friends at a local game store, which, as of Monday, was closed down. Often, I play a role-playing game with a group of my friends, and unfortunately, we're no longer able to meet and do that together, and so we're having to look for virtual options to do that. In some ways, our lives have become more difficult. Some stores have been closed that we're unable to go to anymore. But just like when the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord is in control of this as well. We can be confident that no matter the outcome, that our God is living and active, working to draw us near to him and put his might, his power, and his glory on display. And so I find a lot of comfort knowing that somehow, in a way that I may never understand, our God is working through this whole thing that's happening in our state, in our nation, and in our world. But I have a second thought I would like to continue with before we wrap up this first 10-minute devotional, so I'm going to move on. In verse 8, we see that Daniel does not want to defile himself with these food items, and he petitions. He speaks his opinion to the chief of the eunuchs, more generally to the men who are in charge of him and the others. He proposes that he eats vegetables and water. Now, those in authority over him are concerned about Daniel's health, and if he becomes unwell eating that way, that they may, as caretakers, be at risk of punishment from the king, a very real concern that the caretakers would have. So Daniel suggests to them that they try it for a number of days and see how they look. And actually, they end up looking fine, and so the caretakers continue to allow them to eat this way. I see here Daniel making his opinion, his conviction, known to those in power over him. Daniel here was risking punishment or possibly death just by opening his mouth and contesting the king's decision. Fortunately, in our country, we do not risk punishment or death for speaking our minds. And this really relates back to our recent series we went through a number of weeks ago called An American Christian, where we discussed our role in politics here in the United States of America. In this country, we have the freedom to speak our minds to those we've elected over us. And that is just a wonderful freedom that we have. But another thing that we see with Daniel here is he also says that he will submit to his superior's discretion at the end of verse 13, where it says, Daniel says, "Well, then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." Now, fortunately, in this case, Daniel is given the opportunity to try to eat the way he wants to and exercise his conviction. But Daniel also recognizes at the end of 13, and we also see in Romans 13 now as Christians, that we are to submit to our governing authorities should the rules that are imposed on us not be immoral, unethical, or sinful. And so I really enjoy here seeing Daniel's faith, that he's willing to express his conviction even under the risk of fear and death, but he's also willing to submit to those who are in power over him. While we're not exactly in the same situation as Daniel, and expressing our opinions probably aren't going to result in death or punishment, it's wonderful that we have this right in this country to freely speak. And I think that's something that as the April 7th election comes up here, that we should exercise our opinions, exercise our right to share our opinions within our election process. So as we wrap up here, we've talked about two separate things. I want to give us a question, a thought, something to ponder or to journal about this morning or this evening, whatever time you're tuning in. So my question is this. What trials, difficulties, or disruptions have you been experiencing lately, and that might God be shaping you to be more Christ-like through them? Again, that question is, what trials, difficulties, or disruptions have you been experiencing lately, and might God be shaping you to be more Christ-like through them? Thank you guys for joining me on this first 10-minute devotional on Daniel chapter 1. And in the words of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all."